Welcome to Spartan Up Podcast. We are in beautiful Lake Tahoe, California at the Spartan World Championships. We have a really, really special episode today. We have a really special guest, too. I want to introduce Brian Jennings, two-time Pro Bowler, I think, 13-year career.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fantastic. And the reason he's here is because he was present when Joe interviewed Shannon Lee, the daughter of Bruce Lee.
I'm just gonna leave you with, before we dive in, I'm going to leave you with Brian Jennings, 49er. I played for San Francisco 49ers, 13 years, tough as nails, twice as tall as myself and Johnny, and he started crying immediately into the podcast. Wait until you see Bruce Lee's daughter. This is going to be awesome. All right, we are here in Tahoe for Spartan Up Podcast with Shannon Lee, Bruce Lee's daughter. This is a pretty big deal for me. I don't know if it's as big a deal for you.
It's a big deal. No, I'm excited to be here.
This is unbelievable. So I just walked over to meet you, and I was with Brian, NFL player for the 49ers for 13 years. Big guy, twice my size, smarter than I am, better looking. He met you for 12 seconds and started crying.
Aww.
What was that all about?
Yeah. Well, gosh, it was just such a sincere and genuine and lovely moment. I think he just wanted to express, you know, his love of my father and his legacy and the you know, accessibility that I'm providing to his message and keeping him alive. And, I mean, it was beautiful.
It's almost like your dad hasn't left, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just, and do you feel that, too? Because, I mean, it just permeates our culture. It's everywhere. It goes beyond the United States, right?
Yeah. In fact, I mean, he is recognized literally around the world. I mean, I have had people tell me that they were in Tanzania in Africa doing work, and they stopped at a little roadside place to grab a cold drink, and there was a picture of my dad on the wall. You know, he's on postage stamps in many of the, you know, former Soviet Union states. He's on postage stamps in Africa and South America. I mean, it's kind of wild when you travel all around, like how pervasive his.
What were his big years? Like when did he become that global phenomenon? What years?
You know, it's interesting. The global aspect of it probably happened after he passed, because the movie, you know, he was very popular in Hong Kong and Southeast Asia from like 1971 to 1973 is when he was making those films. But Enter the Dragon was a co-production between the United States, Hollywood, and Hong Kong. And it was that movie that was released globally around the world and catapulted him to a huge audience.
Stardom.
Yeah.
What year did he pass?
He passed in 73, 1 month before the film was released.
So he's been gone for quite some time, but yet he hasn't left.
No, and what I say is that his energy still exists.
And his big thing, he talked about water.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that concept.
Sure. He had one of his, you know, arguably most iconic quote is, empty your mind, be formless, shapeless, like water. If you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. Now water can flow or water can crash. Be water, my friend. And that's the shortened version of the quote. But, you know, essentially what it means is many things, actually. It's sort of jam-packed with a lot. The empty your mind part of it is about being in a place of neutrality, open to all experiences without judgment. The ability to form yourself to whatever environment you're in is about adaptability, flexibility, perseverance. Water can flow. It's about life. It's about being engaged in life. You can be gentle or powerful. You can accomplish things with both methods. And the part I love the best is when he says, be water, my friend. Is the my friend portion of it is like an arm around the shoulder, and it's sort of like bringing you into him, into relationship with him, and creating this sense of community.
And where do you think he got that? He was a philosopher.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes. I mean, he loved philosophy. He was introduced to philosophy, Eastern philosophy, initially at the age of 13 to 18, he studied with Ip Man in Hong Kong. That was his only formal teacher. And he was very much of the sort of Taoist philosophy viewpoint. And in fact, he had a whole revelatory experience at the age of about 17, 18.
What year would that have been?
That would be like 1958.
Okay.
And he was in class and he was, it's martial arts, right? So he was being aggressive and powerful and strong all the time. And his teacher kept trying to tell him, you need to flow with your opponent, not just attack, attack, attack. You have to be in relationship and you have to have flexibility and, you know, too much yang, not enough yin, all of that kind of thing. And he said, go home. Don't come to class for a week. I don't want to see you. You need to think about this. And my dad, of course, was very frustrated. And he went home. And at one point, he went out on a boat. And he was in Hong Kong Harbor area. And he was on a boat. And he was just sort of bobbing on the waves. And he was trying to think about, well, what does he mean by this? And he was getting really frustrated. And we know this because he wrote an essay about it. And he started punching the water out of frustration. And in that instant, he got it. And he was like, oh, when I punch the water moves out of the way and it's not injured. And then it reforms and it's right there. And then he tried to gather the water up in his hand and it ran through his fingers. And he was like, I can't grasp it because it's so fluid. It's always in response to whatever I'm trying to do to it. And he just had this whole epiphany about this is what he's been trying to tell me, this is what he means. And if I can be like water, then I can adapt and be in flow and be in constant relationship to whatever's going on.
And did you have the fortune of learning this directly from him, or these ideas and concepts?
Yes and no, in the sense that I was very young when my father died. So I was 4. So, of course, everything in our household was martial arts and relationship and talking about stuff like that. So I got what I got up to that age. In terms of my actual memories, the thing I always say is, yes, I have some memories. I mean, you think about what you knew when you were 4 years old, right? And it's mostly like little snippets, glimpses. But what I remember most about him was actually who he was, his energy, his essence, what it felt like to be with him and feel so loved and so focused upon and so safe and so like he was shining a light on you all the time because he was very present all the time. But the great thing is that because he was a philosopher, because he was a deep thinker, he was always writing things down. So I have literally thousands of pages of his notes and his thoughts and multiple drafts and refinements of these thoughts, all of his books from his library that he underlined and annotated in the margins and letters he wrote and all those sorts of things to be able to further know him. And then, of course, through the people who knew him as well.
Are many of his friends still alive?
At this point in time, a number of them have passed, but there are still some, and of course, my mom. And the thing was, my father was quite a bit younger than a lot of the people that he was friends with and that were his students. So, you know, at this point, a number of them have passed.
Sure. But, yeah. How's mom?
Mom's good. And, yeah.
Well, and what was her thing in life? Was she bought into this whole... his concepts?
Yeah, you know, my mom loved to have a conversation. They used to talk all the time about everything. And she met him because she signed up to take his class.
In Hong Kong?
No, in Seattle. Because my father left Hong Kong at the age of 18 and came to the United States and settled in Seattle, got his high school equivalency, and then went to the University of Washington to study philosophy. And it was at that time that he started teaching. And my mom signed up for his class. My mom, the great thing about my mom and why she was such a wonderful and perfect fit for my dad is that she is an adventurer. I mean, she loves to go on an adventure, even still. And so she was up for, and my dad was so vibrant and alive that they were a really good pair for one another. And she was very nurturing and supportive. And really, he was very grateful for her because she was such, she allowed him to.
She was like water.
Yeah, and she allowed him to be who he was and support him on that journey. Yeah.
Sounds like my marriage.
Excellent.
My wife's awesome.
Great.
It's like a sponsor. I got to give a plug every once in a while.
Very good.
So I'm a maniac with my kids.
Okay.
I don't know if you know this, but I because of your dad, I brought in a kung fu master to live with us when my oldest was 4 and a half.
Wow.
And the idea was I wanted them to live in the house, wake them up at 5:45 every morning, train them again at night, 7 days a week. And not knowing what your, you know, I don't know if that's a good idea or a bad idea, but it seemed like a good idea. But was that what it was like in your house, or am I, maybe I'm making a mistake here?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, martial arts was my father's life. There, it was always happening at our house. I mean, there were moments, of course, obviously, when he was, you know, writing or working on creative projects or reading or something like that. But he had his own physical practice, and then he also taught. And he had schools, but he also taught at our house. And so our backyard was constantly filled with grown men pummeling each other all the time. And in fact, it was funny because my brother had one of his best friends, and my brother would always go over to his friend's house to play. And finally my mom said one day, well, why doesn't Lucas come over here? And the mom had to say, well, Lucas is afraid to go to your house because there are grown men beating each other up all the time. But yes, I mean, he was always very physical with us, teaching us martial arts. He loved to tell jokes. He was a prankster, so he loved to, you know, do gags and pranks. And he was just very real and larger than life. You know, and you know, because his mission in life was that of self-cultivation, knowing himself and cultivating his own energy and who he was as a human being, and then radiating that out. I mean, to be with him was to be in the presence of someone very energetic and someone extremely sincere and authentic. So it was quite an experience. And the people who were friends with him and knew him, to this day, those of them that are still alive, they get choked up when they think about him, the experience of him.
Did mom keep it going when he passed?
Yeah. You know, my mom was really wonderful. She's so always been so supportive. She, you know, my mom is blonde hair and blue eyes, so she's not Chinese. But she kept the Chinese culture very much alive. We would celebrate Chinese New Year. I went to Chinese school on the weekends in addition to regular school as a kid. And we would travel back to Hong Kong and see our friends and family and things like that. So she was very good about keeping all that alive and keeping my father's friends and students around, and they would come to the house and they would see us. But she was also very good at letting us be ourselves. And so, you know, that was one big thing about my father, was that he said, I want everybody to walk their own path. I don't want them to necessarily be like me. I want them to discover who they are and be the best version of that they can be.
That's awesome. Did you travel back to Hong Kong often? A lot of his family back in Hong Kong? Where was his family?
My father had four brothers and sisters, and they live all over in Hong Kong and here, but then mostly here. I go back and forth to Hong Kong a lot. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. And tell me about the foundation.
So the Bruce Lee Foundation is our charity, and it's an educational foundation. What we really want to do is keep my father's philosophies alive, his message alive. And, you know, we call them action philosophies because they are meant to be actioned. They're not just meant to be thought about. And so we are in the process of really trying to pass that on to younger generations and people who maybe don't have access as easily either. And so we want people to understand his mindset and what it means to live a full and fluid life, essentially.
Sounds a little Spartan.
Yeah.
Right?
So,
but you did a Spartan race. Did it feel like we've got some philosophy going on here and some depth? And
for sure. No, it was great. It was first of all, it was really fun. I had a lot of fun, which I think is important.
Sure.
Because if there's not joy in it, then it's all work at some point. And my father had a very big sense of play with everything that he did. It came from his heart. So I think developing the connection between the mind and the body, and having there be mental components and physical components, and keeping those things in relationship to one another, are really great. And I loved the switching it up, you know, and encountering a different obstacle and going like, oh, okay, how am I going to do this? I got to deal with this.
Right.
And seeing and understanding how my body responds. And, you know, my father was a huge researcher into his own experience. And he would sort of like take some things, leave some things behind, and then just sort of create himself in every moment. And I think giving somebody many different types of challenges within one contained vessel is a really good way to test different facets of a person's being.
They get to meet themselves out on the course.
Exactly.
See if they like what they find.
Right? Yeah.
By the way, you talked about all his writings and the notes and the underlines in some of the books. Have you published any of that, or where does that stand?
Yes. So there are some books that have been published. I was just handed this book. And it's Bruce Lee Wisdom for the Way. It has just a bunch of quotes.
Awesome.
It's a great little, you know, quote book. Like, you know, pick a page, any page. There's some of my father's affirmations are in here as well. Actually, all of them are. So you can check that out. The interesting thing is my favorite quote is actually not in that book. But the quote that first really lit me up and engaged me and helped me at a time when I was really struggling in my life was... the medicine for my suffering I had within me all along.
And I like that one. I mean, that's Kung Fu Panda.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, the idea is...
Not to degrade.
Yeah, no. I love Kung Fu Panda. I'm pretty much sure that they fashioned that first movie on my father anyway.
I'm sure they did. And by the way, it can't be anywhere else. It's always got to be inside you, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because everything is a choice.
Yep.
And we have the ability to shift our perspective, to dig ourselves out of any hole, and choose how we want to live our lives. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly. But yes, there are books and that people can buy, and you can go to brucelee.com and you can, you know, check all of that out. But you know, in terms of his philosophies and applying them, the thing that I find is that my father, that I like to tell people, is that my father had not just a physical discipline, but a mental discipline. And a lot of people think like, oh, that's just this notion of grit. But actually, it was much more than that. It was a very, just like, you know, this is my workout regime. I'm going to do these many squats and lunges and whatever. He had the same for his mind. He had positive affirmations that he wrote down and would say to himself every day. He made a conscious effort to keep his mind off of negative thoughts and onto positive thoughts. He really believed that the mind is a fertile garden and it will grow whatever you want it to grow, weeds or flowers. So it's up to you to plant the right things and be very practiced about it.
It's funny. My mother used to talk about this in the 70s. Maybe she got it from your dad, but it sounded very hokey to a young person like myself and most people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's ridiculous. Your thoughts don't matter. But it's becoming more and more obvious, and science is proving out that it takes over your body, right? It has a physical response, actually, the way you think.
Yeah, yeah.
And it requires work.
Yeah, it requires work. And you know, we have a podcast that we do also called the Bruce Lee Podcast.
Nice.
And we offered a challenge, a podcast challenge to our listeners, where we had them take three of my father's philosophies and action them for 2 weeks, and then just write back to us with the results.
Sure.
And the first one was the affirmations. Write some affirmations, like, how do you want to move through the world? What do you want your attitude to be? So write those down and then just say them out loud to yourself every day. And then the next one was, I would feel better in my body if, fill in the blank, whatever it is, eat better, exercise more, get more sleep, and then implement that for 2 weeks. And then the last one was about harmony. It was about stopping the negative self-talk and the judgment, letting other people be who they are without needing to jump in there and interfere and correct them and tell them they're wrong, and also about not talking badly to yourself. Oh, I'm so stupid. Why did I do that? Da, da, da. And I'll tell you, that was the one that was the most challenging for people. Almost everybody.
It's a hard one.
Yep.
Right?
And it takes a certain amount of awareness.
Sure.
And honesty.
Yeah. Yeah, this is great stuff. He would have loved Spartan Race, I have a feeling, and we would have loved him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The good news is we can love him, right? You keep
yes,
it going.
We can. Yeah.
So if we go to the website, what do we find?
So, I mean, we find you find all sorts of stuff. You find access to the podcast and information about my father. You know, you can get books and the movies and, you know, other things like that. There's links to the foundation and its work and programs. And it's really, for me, you know, the reason why I do this is because I believe in it. It's a mission for me. Just like I feel like Spartan is a mission for
sure,
you, right?
Yeah.
It's a mission for me. These philosophies have so much value, and they need to be continued. People need to know how to use them, and then we can all live
a little better.
A little better, and a little better with each other also.
Sure. I'm with you.
Yeah.
You're awesome.
So, thank you.
You win. Anything else? Are we good? You guys good? Are you crying?
Incredible.
Was that unbelievable?
Yeah. You know what's funny? I remember as a kid, Bruce Lee being the biggest thing in the world, and you know, died in 73. I didn't even realize that, because he was so big when I was 10 that I would have assumed he was still alive, right? Obviously a huge influence on you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I feel like, you know, this summer, the story I can tell quickly is this summer, when my children were out of town in the Bay Area for their vacation to get out of the heat, I always add some things to my kids' rooms. And this year I added 2 Bruce Lee posters, one in each of my son's room. And the one was the quote about being water, right? So that was for Max, because Max can be pretty rigid. You know, he has kind of my temperament as far as, like, you know, you set your mind and you're like not rigid and you just write. So for him, for me, it was Max, the quote was, be water, my friend. Yep. And for Jackson, it was actualize yourself. And I feel like for my son Max, the question, you know, he's concerned about what other, like, people think and feel. And, you know, for me to be a good dad, I really want him to be like, you know, to really focus on, you know, actualize yourself. And so those 2 quotes, I mean, just this summer, I put those posters in my son's wall because they're going to transform my children's lives. And so for me to have the opportunity, you know, to hear that and to hear her, you know, contribution is just absolutely, you know, it just resonates with me on such a profound level. And it's just such a great opportunity.
And amazing. I think she was 3 when her father died. But the incredible thing is, I mean, for her to come in and just right away, that energy was there. Like, there was no doubt that you were speaking to the prodigy of this incredible person. Like, she has such an amazing energy herself.
Right. Yeah. And that's what, you know, when I first met her, I was a little bit overcome. Right. And it's true, because, you know, I felt like I could just feel that. Right. And the impact that Bruce Lee and his legacy and, like, his story and the information, the movies that I've seen of his and the books and the quotes that I've seen from him and the impact that it's had on my life, just to be in her presence is just to honor that legacy. You know, it was really overwhelming for me.
I was shocked to see a big boy like you just start crying right away. So I knew there was something deeper there going on. But I had no idea he died in 73. I mean, it feels like he's still alive.
Absolutely. That was neat when you said that to her, too. And I think that meant a lot to her when you said, really, he is still alive. He's still alive through her. He's still alive through his legacy. You know, might we all be so lucky to leave that kind of an impact on the world. And she's doing a lot of work to carry that on through the foundation and through, you know, sharing his message and things. So, What you know, in your conversation with her, what was the most impactful thing for you?
For me, it was a 4-year-old, because I have children now. Just like you were just saying, we all have children. As a 4-year-old, to be able to take those things from her dad made me realize, wow, I've got a big responsibility with my kids, and we all do. And they're watching and listening and learning everything we do. And so if she was able to turn into the person she did and have the message she's got and continue this, just from 4 years with him, 3 of which were probably, I got work to do.
You know, it's, when you say that, I had an interesting conversation yesterday with Charlie Brenneman. You interviewed Charlie way back when, MMA fighter, UFC. Incredible guy. Has a great podcast. And he and I was on his podcast, and he asked me a question. He said, hey, you do all these incredible adventurous things, and how do you square that with being a responsible dad? You know, you're traveling around the world, you're doing these cool things, and yet you've got these kids who need you to be their dad too. And I said, Charlie, you know, in our society, what we're taught to do is give everything up when you have kids and then explain to your kids that you would have done really cool things if it wasn't for them. And then hopefully they'll model that and they'll give up their dreams for their kids. And I said, no, you got to go out and be amazing. There's a great example of that where, I mean, he did the important stuff that created a legacy in the world. And you look at what it created for her. And I look what you're doing. And you spend a lot of time away from home. I mean, you're the most incredible dad as far as making sure you spend time with them too, but you're away a lot. But you're creating opportunities. And I think about your career. I mean, you were away a lot, right? And but at the same time, you're doing incredible things and creating incredible examples. So just when you say that about as a four-year-old, her whole life has been shaped by how amazing he was. And he didn't say, well, you know what, I've got kids, I better give up martial arts and just stay at home and be a pedestrian person.
The thing that was really profound to me is she said that, you know, martial arts was always happening in their house. And so now, since I've retired, I feel like my life is always happening all at the same time. And with technology, it's probably easier. So I'm able to call home and connect and FaceTime, and I'm able to, you know, run my business, and I'm able to, you know, do the things that I need to do with my time in my life. And it's all, I always say to every, you know, it's all happening at the same time. So my family, my business, my health, like my, you know, whatever it is that I'm doing, you know, it's all happening at the same time. And I think technology helps us make that probably easier. Whereas I think she actually mentioned during the episode was, that's how he lived his life. And that's another lesson we can learn from him is it's just integrated, right? They're not separate things. It's all integrated. It's all happening at the same time.
I think when she was saying that, I think about our farm. Johnny knows this best. You haven't been on the farm yet, Brian, in Vermont.
It's a trap. But, don't go. It's a trap.
It's very much like she described Bruce Lee's house, right? Like, there's death races going on. There's Spartan races going on. There's training happening. There's people coming and going. And yes, it's fun because you said it should all be happening at once and technology allows it. But at the same time, it definitely stresses the family, right? Because there's never downtime. It's always on.
Yeah. I can vouch for the fact that it's pretty much always on at your place. And I'll be there to do a podcast. And at the same time, there's a wrestling camp going over there and a race going over there and a wedding down the street. And it's like, holy smokes, how do you do all that? But the incredible thing is that, I mean, you work to your capacity. And some people can't juggle 27 things, so they don't. But you can, and I think that behooves you and your family to do that. And but I think also you've got some great balance too, in that Courtney knows when the kids get shuttled off somewhere else too.
A great man has a great woman behind them, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, for sure, absolutely. And so in terms of listening to her message and the idea about with our kids, what's your most important thing with your kids?
So for me, it's for sure, and she actually touched on this, is I want to help my kids become exactly what they were designed to be. So I think we all have unique gifts. I think we all have blessings. I think we all have a unique purpose in life. And the way my idea of explaining that is I want to be a father. I want to parent like a grandfather. And what I mean by that is I don't want to have my identity all wrapped up in this thing. Right? Like, I just want to love them for who they are. And I want to meet them where they're at. And I want to just help them along the way.
Yeah, I wrote a blog post a few years ago, and I shared it with you, Joe, called My Kids Are People, Not Projects. And that's exactly it. As a grandparent, you're just so proud of those kids being who they are. As a parent, you're very tied up in them representing you in the world. Mm-hmm. And I love that idea, and yeah, that's really cool.
I feel like a grandparent. I'm pretty tired. Well, with that said, how do people find out about us, Johnny? Take us out of
here. Yeah, you know what? This is such an incredible episode with Shannon Lee. We have so many great people. Very recently, we've had the opportunity to shoot some incredible podcasts, yourself included. And if you want to see them, go to spartan.com/podcast. Make sure that you follow us, subscribe on iTunes or on YouTube. We're worth watching sometimes if you just listen to us.
Hey, Brian, do you have a charity or a podcast or anything you want people to go to?
Yeah, I just launched the Brian Jennings Experience, and so you can find us on iTunes, wherever you download your podcast.
Cool. Very cool. Thank you. So check all that out, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you for watching another epic story of success. If you like our message, please share Spartan Up with your friends and subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, or wherever you catch our show, maybe in the woods. Spartan Up is brought to you by Spartan Race. To find a race near you, visit spartan.com.